Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
I'm Doug McBurney. Glad to be here, Bob.
Doug, big night tonight.
Big night. Not as big as next Sunday, but a big night. Iowa, right?
Iowa, the Iowa caucuses. And what's so interesting is the observation you made a couple days ago. You said this is the first time in living memory that we Christians could make a calculation, a political calculation, on who we should support for the Republican presidential nomination.
I know.
Without committing a sin. Without sinning, because
so true.
Until now, there has been what? There's been just one variety of pro-abortion Republican versus another variety for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
And now we have four candidates, five total who signed the personhood pledge. One immediately contradicted it.
And I believe American Right to Life rejected his pledge outright.
That's right. In fact, that press release is atop their website, AmericanRightToLife.org.
Yeah.
American Right to Life rejects Ron Paul's pledge because he contradicted it as he signed it.
Yeah.
Almost simultaneously,
yeah,
which is a bit hard to do.
Pretty odd.
But the other four who were also part of the personhood town hall meeting that was simulcast on over 100 radio stations— each of them has made a commitment to oppose child killing without exception, and this is very significant.
It's shocking, stunning, and defies
The conventional
wisdom. The conventional wisdom has always been that we couldn't get the whole cake. We had to just ask for pieces and crumbs, see?
Yeah.
I love the quote from Keith Mason that we're no longer asking them what we can get. We're telling them what we want.
What is required.
And we want it all.
Right. We want every child to be protected from being dismembered by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
That's what we want. And so, Doug, the People for the American Way, Norman Lear, remember him?
I remember. Archie Bunker.
Yeah. Do they have network TV in hell? I don't think so.
I think they only get reruns of your old television show, if I'm not mistaken. I thought that was the deal.
That's right. Well, the People for the American Way, I think he founded that group years ago. They have an article out about the personhood movement.
Wow, and that's awesome that they're noticing.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody's noticing.
Yeah.
And here's what they say. This is their lead. It is remarkable to realize how in just a few years, and despite repeated losses, the personhood movement has gone from a fringe effort that had no support to a central part of the Republican presidential primary.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, five candidates. And if you combine their respective support, they represent people about 65-70% of the voters in Iowa are supporting candidates who signed the personhood pledge.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is great. And so, you know, Mitt Romney is the anti-personhood candidate, so
he's anti-something, I'll tell you.
So it makes sense that he would have a significant voting block behind him, because they're the Mike Rosen type of pro-pornography, pro-abortion Republicans.
Yeah, immoral conservatives.
Yeah, who like Mitt Romney because he single-handedly instituted homosexual marriage and tax-funded abortion and all that.
Who did that? Barack Obama?
Mitt Romney.
Hillary Clinton? No?
Mitt Romney.
Really?
So Romney understandably has his base.
Yeah.
That's understandable. But then five candidates who signed the personhood pledge are splitting the pro-life vote, which, of course, in politics, this is what happens.
Yeah, well, that's one of the side effects of having principles is that often you're divided amongst one another.
Yeah.
Because you actually have principles.
Right. That's a great point.
It tends to happen.
And the more important the truth is to you, there is this phenomenon that among Christians who take God's word seriously, it's increasingly difficult not to be divisive over unimportant things because we get confused as to what's important and what's not.
Right.
Like if you talk to, say, Seventh-day Adventist, they'll tell you, well, if you go to church on Sunday, that's the mark of the beast.
Wow.
You're going to hell.
Oops.
And if you talk to the Church of Christ, they'll tell you if you have a piano in your church, your whole congregation is going to hell.
Yeah.
So when principles matter and it's important, there is a danger of becoming intensely, overbearingly divisive. And so that is something I've always wanted to avoid and focus on what really matters and divide over what really matters, but not over everything else.
Right, right. And now we've put the issue on the table of the president's responsibility to defend the God-given, unalienable right to life of every human person.
Right.
That issue's been put on the table. And then it's been taken off the table by at least four of the candidates. It's been removed from at least my thinking as I try to calculate who I would support.
Right.
And now it's kind of a relief and kind of fun to be able to think about other, like, who will do the best with taxes and who will be the best on spending.
Yeah.
Because none of that really mattered to me before because they were all not standing up and accepting their foundational fundamental responsibility.
Yeah. And who is more electable?
We can even think about that.
You could make these political calculations when you have candidates who are saying, I will not kill a single innocent child.
Mm.
Well, then you could look at the secondary issue of who's more electable. But if you put that as one of your primary concerns, then eventually you'll be supporting Barack Obama for the Republican nomination. And if you don't think you'd get there, then you don't think. Because when that is the most important thing to you that the party wins, then you are destroying the party and helping to destroy the country. But of course, a lot of people can't think through that.
I think a lot of people haven't thought through an awful lot of stuff, Bob, and that's why we're so glad you're on the air.
Well,
I mean, America needs you on the air now more than ever.
Well, and Doug, you too, with your show.
I'm happy to help, but
hey, and co-hosting this program so often. So here's a quote on American Right to Life's website about Ron Paul. And this is from Daryl Berkey, director of research for ARTL.
Yeah.
Shockingly, Ron Paul agrees with the central finding of Roe v. Wade itself that the constitutional protection of human rights does not apply to unborn children.
Ouch. Ouch.
That quote is so powerful.
He took the gloves off for that one.
Yeah. And then ARTL president Lolita Hanks adds, Ron Paul is not who he claims to be. Paul is pro-choice, state by state. He believes states should be allowed to keep abortion, which is like allowing states to keep slavery.
Yeah, I think you made the point last week that Ron Paul is whoever people want him to be. They tend to project.
Yeah, he's a blank slate. And since he passes the buck so often, he said, well, that's a state's rights matter.
Yeah, so, that gets him out of an awful lot of controversial issues that would, you know, cause him to lose support amongst the Occupy Wall Street all the way over to the evangelical. He's got support from both sides.
Now, Newt did have a good line on Occupy Wall Street.
He did?
He said they should take a bath and get a job.
Well, did you hear what happened when he was approached by a voter in Iowa and the voter asked Newt, how would you relate and address the issue of the rights of gay people in America? And Newt said, you should vote for Barack Obama. And he walked away.
Now, that's pretty gutsy.
I thought that was.
That is pretty gutsy.
That was a couple of weeks ago.
And,
back
you know, sadly, with George W. Bush and his father, his father was the first to invite the homosexuals to the White House as an official special interest group that was honored. That was George H.W. Bush. And George W. Bush has also likewise, it's not that he's conceded the debate on homosexuality. he disagrees with the debate. He approves of homosexuality.
Mm.
And homosexuality destroys far more Americans than does terrorism.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a far greater threat to our national security than Islamic fundamentalism.
Yeah.
And so we have this severe problem that really Michelle Bachmann is one of the candidates that you would think, hey, she is a committed Christian. She says ending abortion is something she would give her life for.
Right.
And I think that's true. And her husband had a ministry to help homosexuals recover from that sin, that lifestyle. That's pretty significant, but I don't think that touches Rick Santorum. He's strongly opposed the homosexual agenda.
Oh, well, they definitely hate him
more than
anyone.
Right.
Yeah, he's the most hated.
Even with Newt's quip.
Amongst the shiny, happy, beautiful people, Rick Santorum is the most hated man in America.
Yeah.
So that's got to count for something. I like that about Rick.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty impressive resume you bring up
for Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
And Rick Perry, for him to answer Keith Mason's question at Personhood USA, asking during the town hall, aren't you contradicting yourself? I mean, that was great that Keith.
Yeah.
Here are these guys who signed their name on the Personhood Pledge, and they're not letting him off the hook. They keep pressing them.
Yeah.
And so Keith said, aren't you contradicting yourself when you've been pro-life with exceptions, and this pledge says no exceptions?
Yeah.
Do you remember Rick Perry's answer?
I remember. He said, well, you know, I had this conversation with Rebecca Kiesling, and you could hear in his voice that he's struggling with issues that he's probably never fully
considered.
Thought through before.
And Rebecca Kiesling, a Colorado Right to Life, flew her out to be part of one of our Personhood events.
Yeah.
And she is part of the Personhood team.
Yeah.
She's there. She's one of us.
She's a person. And by the way, she was conceived in rape, and she could have been killed.
She's a person.
Her mother had that option.
And so Rick Perry was forced to look Rebecca in the eye.
Yeah.
And Rebecca asked him, don't I have the right to life? Is it okay to kill me because my father was a criminal? And Rick Perry said, no, that wouldn't be okay.
Yeah, he said he could not find an answer to justify the exception that he had been convinced of just minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So it's so thrilling. This, I think, is a watershed moment. I think People for the American Way, even though they're a wicked pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, we came from animals group, I think they got it right. It is remarkable that the Personhood movement has come from seemingly nowhere and through defeat after defeat after defeat to continue the momentum and to be a significant part of the presidential primary season.
You know that PAW, what's it called?
People for the American Way.
I've got to confess, I don't think I've ever read anything by them. I've heard people talk about them. But here's the thing that they might not realize and is that the pro-life movement was convinced by our own leadership that those of us who thought that unborn children were persons, that we were the fringe. We were convinced of that for 30 years. What we didn't realize was that was a lie. We never were the fringe. We have always been the core of the pro-life movement. We've just been afraid to tell them what we want.
Right. And the Christians who wanted to advocate for a human life amendment, a Personhood amendment, they were mocked, ridiculed by the National Right to Lives of the world.
Yeah, primarily.
By
the
leaders and by the state affiliates. They were told that they're ignorant, they're foolish, they're wrong, they're making the perfect the enemy of the good.
Mm.
We have to support regulations to regulate child killing. We have to support exceptions because that's the only way. And so everyone with a vision and a hope and a heart to win, they were all stepped on.
Yeah.
And so now it's okay to be for personhood.
Yeah, and we're finding out that it turns out we're on the verge of becoming the majority of the pro-life movement because so many of us believe that deep down in our hearts underneath all the politics and all the fear.
Lou Engel. Lou Engel was a part of the Personhood town hall meeting with these congressmen last week, and he sent in a question, and he's urging, and he's the founder of The Call, which is this massive Christian movement and with a primary goal to end child killing. And here is Lou Engel, who has been lobbied to oppose personhood.
Right.
And here he is promoting personhood with the leading candidates for the presidency.
Right, right. Now, I heard, well, maybe I can't even say it because I just heard. We'll have to wait and see.
A rumor?
We'll hear it from Mr.
Was it a good rumor?
It was a good rumor, but we're going to have to wait to hear it from Mr. Engel himself before we can confirm it. Certainly wouldn't want to see it on the
air. Additional development?
An additional development.
That's very encouraging.
It could be very
good. Tonight is the Iowa caucuses. A lot of people don't know the difference between a primary and a caucus, and it just doesn't matter.
At a caucus,
don't worry.
At a caucus, you have to physically go to the big dance.
You go and you have a meeting. Colorado's a caucus state. I've gone the last number of election cycles.
Yeah.
And you get to present your argument for your guy or against the other guy.
Yeah.
And in a primary state, the government runs the primary. So you go to your voting place, the polling place, you vote, and then the government tallies and sets up the delegates who supports who.
Okay, you were right.
Caucus,
you were right. It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. In a caucus state, it's run by the party.
Right.
So they get what amounts to a little bit more than a straw poll vote, and they elect who's going to go to my county caucus or my county assembly and the state assembly. And then all those things are finalized in March.
Okay. So you were right initially.
It doesn't matter.
Just not worth discussing.
No.
So do we want to make any bold predictions? Do we want to take a call? What do we want? No bold predictions, right?
Well, why don't we give out the phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278.
Feel free to call in.
Mitt Romney, tragically, is going to do well. But then if it came down to Romney versus Obama, the sad thing is a lot of Christians and pro-lifers would vote for Obama because they support the lesser of two evils. And clearly, Obama is the lesser of two evils when contrasted with Mitt Romney.
Well, if you look at their records and what they've accomplished for the forces of darkness.
Right. And for Romney Care being used as a model for Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
And Romney Care fully funding abortion with tax dollars.
Yeah.
And Romney implementing homosexual marriage.
Right.
And Romney taking judges and turning them into activist judges on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is all far beyond what any Democratic candidate that I could think of has accomplished in recent memory.
And on that note, let's take a call.
All right. Where do we go?
Let's go to Cheyenne, Wyoming. Monty, you are on Bob Enyart Live. Speak your mind.
Well, shalom. This is Monty, your Jewish partner up here in Cheyenne.
Hi, Monty.
Shalom.
Welcome to the show. What's up?
I had to call in. The news about the progress being made in the Right to Life movement was exciting.
Amen,
bro. Made me both tear up and laugh.
Ah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is great what's happening. It seems like every day significant organizations and leaders are making the commitment to personhood. And Monty, I'll give you an example. Family Research Council. Now, they're like the political arm of Focus on the Family for years.
Yeah.
They have been strongly lobbied to oppose personhood. And they have come out and said, we reject the arguments against personhood. We support the personhood movement and state and federal personhood amendments. We are strongly in the personhood camp. This is a major development.
When did this happen?
This happened over the last couple months, Doug. You were busy. You're earning a living for your family.
That is incredible news.
Yeah, that's another development.
Wow.
And there's so many developments like this, we can't keep track of them all.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Maybe God's moving.
God is moving.
Yeah, you know, Monty, there's a lot of people who are worried about the leadership in the personhood movement becoming political, becoming corrupted. And, of course, that always is a concern. But I really see, I believe that this idea is much more powerful than any single organization or
an individual
single
or a group. It's like the abolition movement
right.
with slavery. They made slavery unthinkable. They didn't just end slavery. It became unthinkable in much of the world. And that will happen with abortion because we're rising up God's standard.
Amen.
Therefore, child killing will become unthinkable. We know we win eventually. We just want to win sooner rather than later.
Amen.
All right, Monty.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You. All right. Appreciate Monty's call.
Wow.
So, Doug, what else in Iowa? What other Iowa news?
Well, I've got some Rick Santorum news.
Yeah.
It's not specifically related to Iowa. It's a comment made by Alan Combs.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding Rick Santorum. Did you get a chance
to hear? Remember Alan Combs' autobiography, the title of it?
It was
titled, "And Now Back to You, Sean." Alan Combs, he apologized to Rick Santorum.
Yeah, he had to apologize because here's what Combs said on Fox News, on the air. Mm. He said, people will start to bail on Senator Santorum once they, quote, get a load of some of the crazy things he's said and done, like taking his two-hour-old baby when it had died right after childbirth, taking that baby home and playing with it so that his other children would know that the child was real. Unquote. That's what Alan Combs said.
And Combs has now apologized for that despicable comment. When a child dies, it's just so devastating. And so what happened? Could you describe for us, Doug, what happened in this circumstance? Because Rick Santorum and his wife, Karen, they obviously grieved that their child had died.
Yeah, the baby had already been diagnosed with a fatal defect. They basically told the couple that you might bring this child to term, but the child is not going to live.
Hmm. Well, but of course, they didn't abort the child.
No.
Of course, they gave their son every opportunity to live.
Yeah, Rick's wife, Karen, went as far as she could with the pregnancy. She developed then a potentially fatal infection, an intrauterine infection. Then the baby, named Gabriel, he only survived outside the womb for a couple of hours. Mm. And in a book that the Santorums wrote about it called Letters to Gabriel, they tell what really happened. They say they slept all night in the hospital with the baby, and then they took him home so that his brothers and sisters could see that he was real.
Mm-hmm. And, could meet him.
Yeah, and so...
And Doug, of course, people often have funerals for children who die, premature, premature children, children who die shortly after childbirth. And these kids are every bit as much of a person as any of us are, as any of our children are.
Yeah.
And so for Alan Combs to mock Rick and Karen Santorum, and basically to mock their child, too, was so despicable that even he apologized.
Yeah, and of course, he apologized several hours after he should have been fired. That's a career ender to me. Mm. I mean, is it not a career ender to do something this egregious to someone on the air?
Yeah.
How could Alan Combs even show his face in public?
Yeah, and what a face it is to show.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, Rick is always the gracious guy. He says... He's accepted the apology. He says, I know Alan is a very good person at heart. Mm-hmm. So there's something I disagree with Rick Santorum on strongly.
No. right.
He's not a very good person at heart.
No.
A good person at heart would never utter such a despicable thing about any other human being.
I've been interviewed by Alan Combs. I've interviewed him on this program.
Yeah.
He is radically hostile to a Judeo-Christian worldview. He hates Christians who follow the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
He hates them.
Yeah, he does.
Just like he aggressively advocates the dismembering of innocent children, he's not a very good person.
No.
So good point.
So Rick is trying to be, you know, politically sensitive and bigger than
politics
Alan
does that to people. I think democracy is the most divisive form of government that there is.
Yeah.
Democracy. And my wife, Cheryl, and I have been talking about that lately because you have Christians who are fighting other Christians, for example, over Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
And the divisiveness is visceral. You could taste it.
Yeah.
And so democracy is the most divisive form of government with family members, Christians around a Thanksgiving table who end up almost hating one another over democracy. I'm not a fan of democracy.
No, I hadn't noticed it, Bob, but in my several debates that I've had with Ron Paul supporters, they've come out and openly questioned the Christianity of a whole bunch of people. Yeah, right. And I've had to say, well, look, I'm not saying anybody's not a Christian.
Right.
Let's hold your horses here, boys.
Of course.
We're just disagreeing about, whether Ron Paul is who you think he is.
Yeah. You know, a constituency is made up of all these camps. And for Ron Paul, of course, he has the millions of college age and hippie wannabes.
The legalized marijuana crowd.
And crack and every kind of ecstasy or heroin or everything.
So in America today, that's a pretty solid political base.
That's a pretty big political base. And then anybody who thinks that 9/11 was an inside job, you know, Ron Paul has a soft place in his heart for Alex Jones. So anybody who hates the Jews or hates Israel, who's part of the political process, they like Ron Paul. Yeah. And anybody who thinks maybe, well, the secessionist,
right.
You know, Ron Paul 28 years ago used the word secession in a speech.
Yeah.
So they're gaga over him. And maybe anybody who thinks we didn't go to the moon. So well, all those camps.
I don't know if Ron goes quite that far on the moon. I haven't seen any of his writings from his old newsletter where he discussed the moon. But I see what you're saying.
Not to mention his old newsletter that was racist and that he says for 10 years or so he didn't know what was in it.
Yeah.
And it was his newsletter.
He might have been stoned. No, I think he doesn't actually smoke marijuana himself, or does he?
No.
No? He doesn't claim to?
Right.
Okay, he just wants other people to be stoned because then they'll vote for him.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be so mean to our Ron Paul friends out there. You know, everyone is like a king in their own mind in a democracy. It's like, you know,
right.
You've been told that the government works for you.
They work for you.
Sure.
Right. And that is the opposite of the biblical mindset that we are to humble ourselves and we're to be servants and we're to respect and honor the governing authorities who are in authority over us. So you have millions of people, and it cracks me up. You go on the internet and you look at a typical comment and they'll say, these politicians are supposed to listen to us. I'm like, who's this us, Kemosabe? There's 300 million of us. Who are they going to listen to?
Yeah, right.
If they listen to me, you'll hate them. Mm. You only mean that they should listen to you and you only. That's what everyone means.
How true.
But we're all what? Too stupid to think this through?
Mm.
That there's no such thing as they're working for us.
No. You know, and I'm thankful that now an issue's been introduced into the argument that has the potential to quash and dominate all that bickering and all that democracy that's going on out there.
Yeah.
And we might actually build a politician who might be able to at least preserve the country for a while.
So, Doug, we're about out of time. Why don't we end with a prayer for the Christians in Iowa tonight?
Oh, amen, Bob.
Lord God, we ask you to be with Steve Dace and all of our dear friends out in Iowa, the pastors who've stood up for you as the creator and rights coming from you to every child. Lord God, we ask you to help them to do things, to say things, to advocate all and only that which honors and glorifies you. Help people not be discouraged, Lord, because we know that ultimately the victory is in you. Help us, Lord, here in Colorado to be part of the fight, to even lead the fight if you would have us do so. We love you, and we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Right, Doug. Hey, let's do another show this week.
Thanks, Bob. I'll be back.
We'll do the news. KGov.com.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore his wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.